We have been going through the letter of 1 Corinthians. We've made it to the end of chapter 9. Our passage is going to be verses 24 to 27. The Apostle Paul writes, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Now, let's just understand the context really quick. Our passage finds us in the middle of a large section, a large discussion concerning Christian freedom. In ancient Greece, practically all meat that you could buy or eat had previously been sacrificed to some pagan god. And so there was a question amongst Christians, is it okay to eat meat that has been sacrificed to idols, or are we somehow also participating in idolatry by eating this food? And most of the Christians said, no, it's fine. Meat is meat, it's neutral, you can eat it, it's fine. We're Christians, we don't have food laws and stuff like that. Most of the Corinthians said, we have the right to eat anything we want to eat, including this meat, it's fine. Now, but in this entire section, chapters 8, 9, and 10, Paul is teaching one big major Christian principle. And the principle is this. That which should guide our life, the guiding principle for how we live and how we make choices and what we do as Christians is not, well, what are my rights and what am I allowed to do? The guiding principle is love. Love towards your fellow believers, wanting to see them grow and mature and become holier, and love towards unbelievers because you want to see them get saved. Paul says, even though you may have the right to eat whatever you want, that's fine, before you do anything, you have to consider and think, if I eat this, or if I do whatever, any choices that I make, are these choices that I make beneficial? Are they helpful to the people around me? Is what I'm doing benefiting or hindering the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because not everyone thinks the same way that we do. Not everyone eats the same way that we do. Not everyone acts the same way that we do. And so Paul has spent the entirety of chapter 9 using himself as an example. And he's saying, I'm giving my whole life. My whole life is geared in such a way to reach a specific goal. I have a goal in mind, and so I live my entire life a specific way. And you'll say, well, what's his goal? Look a few verses earlier, verse 19. He says, for though I am free from all men, I have rights to do all kinds of stuff, I have made myself a servant to all. Why? Why would you do that, Paul? That I may win the more. I want to win people to Christ. I want people to get saved. And so everything that I do in my life is with that in mind. What I eat, how I dress, how I speak, how I respond to people. Everything that I do, how I work, whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm doing it so that it will give me an opportunity to share the gospel and be of spiritual benefit to others. Everything that I do in my life. Look at the last verse, well, second to last verse we looked at last week. Verse 22, right in the middle of the verse, he says, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Why do you do that? Verse 23, now this I do for the gospel's sake. We are to do all things for the spiritual good of others, even if that requires us to lay down certain rights that we have. But we're doing it for the spiritual good of others. That's what Paul did, and that's what he wants us to be doing also. And so, in these few verses that we have for today, he brings an illustration from the world of sports. A couple of illustrations. He does that a lot. Paul talks about sports a lot. Corinth was a big sports city. Big sports fans in Corinth. Corinth, every couple of years, had the Isthmian Games, which were the second biggest sports event of the ancient world after the Olympics. Okay? That happened in Corinth all the time. So people loved sports. People went there all the time. And they would, of course, understand these verses. And you don't have to be a sports aficionado to understand this passage. It's pretty simple and understandable. He starts in verse 24. And he says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Don't you know that?" Of course we know that. It's a rhetorical question. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that you've got a bunch of people running, but only one wins. And the ancient Greeks especially knew this. All right? They, ancient Greeks were into sports and into gymnastics and all these things. One of the most famous sayings from the ancient world that we still use today, 2,000, 3,000 years later. Nousi yis en somati yi. He knows this. He's Greek. All right? That means a healthy mind in a healthy body. That was the Greek ideal. That was the goal. We want to be educated and smart and wise, but we want that to be in a good, strong, healthy body. From young children, they would train their children to be athletes. And so Paul asks a very simple question. Don't you all know this? Don't you know that this is how a race is? A bunch of people race, but only one wins. Yes, of course we know that. That's how sports works. Okay, what's your point? Middle of verse 24, he says, "Run in such a way that you may obtain it." That you may obtain the prize. Now, I will get back to that in a moment. Let's go down to verse 25. He says, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." All right, what he's saying here, anyone who competes in sports has to train, has to prepare. When it says temperate, that means he has to be self-controlled and disciplined in what he's doing to prepare for the race. Okay, and we understand this. Everyone understands. If someone wants to be a champion at something, they're not going to spend their day on the couch watching TV, eating potato chips, all right? They have to train. They're going to be like, all right, I have to eat the right things and sleep well and exercise and train and do all the things that I need to do to reach my goal. That's how it is. I'm not going to become a champion if I don't put hard work into this. We all know this. Okay. Middle of verse 25. "Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." In the ancient world, what would the winner get? He would get a crown, a wreath made of leaves, branches, and stuff like that. How long do you think that lasted? The branch, some leaves on it. That dried up and withered away real quick. But they trained their entire lives to get that. And it's gone in a few days. He says, what we're doing here, our ministry, our job as Christians, is to obtain an imperishable crown. And someone may say, Nico, but it's not about the crown itself, but what the crown represents. You know, of course the leaves would fade away, but it's about having the glory and the applaud of people and stuff like that. Okay, the analogy still stands. If they train their entire lives so that people can say, wow, good job, fantastic what you did, how about us? And getting the approval of God. Isn't that a more important thing? Isn't the task of sharing the gospel, edifying the church, getting people to get saved, isn't that a greater thing accomplished than running 100 meters in a race? I was faster than everyone else. So Paul, speaking of himself, how he does things in verse 26, says, therefore, I run thus. This is how I run. Not with uncertainty. This is how I fight. Not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Again, here he's using sports imagery. And he is saying, what I don't want for myself, what I would hate is, in the end, to get disqualified. What I would hate, that in the end, when I'm done and I stand before God, I have nothing to show. I didn't accomplish anything. Now, I want you to understand, just as a side note here, I want you to understand, this is not talking about, this passage is not talking about how a person is saved. This is not talking about salvation here. All right, it's not saying, well, you've got to work real hard in order to be saved, and if you don't work hard enough, you'll lose it at the end. That's not his point. This is about having been given a job to do from God and not doing it. Been given a ministry and just not giving it your all, just kind of maybe on the side. This is the same thing that Paul was talking about back in chapter 3. And even though it's only 6 chapters earlier, we did it a long time ago. So I just want to show you something really quick. Can you just go back to chapter 3 for a moment, for 1 Corinthians? Chapter 3. The context here, Paul was talking about preachers and teachers, and how it was their job to spiritually build up the church, help people grow in the church. And he is talking about how some people, some teachers and preachers, they make good churches. And other people, not so much. And look at verse 12 of chapter 3. He says in verse 12, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. He is saying some people build with gold and silver and precious stones. That's fantastic. Other people build with wood and hay and straw, which is not that great. And if that's tested by the fires of God, one will stand and the other one is kind of going to be burned up because it's not that great. And so he says in verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. That's the prize we're running for in chapter 9. If anyone's work, verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. He will suffer loss of the prize. He's not going to get it. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So both of these guys are saved. We're not talking about whether they get saved or not. This is a matter of God giving you a job to do and either doing a good job or doing a bad job. And getting a reward or not getting a reward. This is the same thing that he's talking about in chapter 9. Paul is saying, back to chapter 9, Paul is saying, I don't want to be the guy who goes to heaven and then realize that I did nothing with my life. God, I don't want to be the guy who God saved me. Oh, I have this amazing conversion where God, Jesus appeared to me on the road to Damascus and gave me a ministry and then I didn't do it. I had nothing to show at the end. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to get disqualified at the end. I'm running and I have a specific goal in mind and I'm going for it. So, here's the simple question. How are you doing today? If you died today and you stood before Christ, would He look at you and say, "Good job"? Great. Or would He say, "Saved you a bunch of years ago. Not much to show. Well, you didn't kill anyone, I guess, so that's something." Are you doing anything for the kingdom of God? Are you focused and giving your entire life for the sake of the gospel, that other people may hear the gospel, get saved, edifying the church? Paul says, "I am so focused on this." In verse 26, he says, "I don't run with uncertainty or aimlessly." He's not the runner who is just, oh, kind of, you know, doing his own thing. Oh, hey, what's that over there? No, he has his mind set on the finish line and he's going for it. And he says, "When I fight, when I box, I'm not hitting the air. I'm not just flailing my arms around, wasting my energy, wasting my time. When I throw a punch, I want to make sure that it hits the guy." In verse 27, he says, "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection." As a quick side note, there are a bunch of people in the world, especially in the Middle Ages, who took this very literally. And so they would beat themselves and punish themselves when they would sin. They'd get like whips and, oh, whip themselves. Oh, bad body, bad flesh. It's your fault that I'm sinning. That's not what he's talking about here. He's using this imagery and he's saying, "I'm like an athlete. I discipline myself. I put up with hardships. I deny myself. There are things that I would like to do that I don't do, because I have a specific goal, and in order to complete that goal, there are certain things that I have to sacrifice. There are certain things that I have to put aside. There are certain things that I have to do. And I give my entire life to this in order to reach my goal." Everyone is looking for the quick solution. No one wants to do the hard work that needs to be done for the gospel. Everyone in training... last year, I was like, "Oh, I'm overweight. I need to lose some weight." And so I lost 15 kilos. And then I met I was with a gentleman who was overweight himself. And he said, "Wow," he hadn't seen me in a while. He was like, "Wow, you lost 15 kilos. How did you do it?" And I said, "Diet and exercise." And he was like, "Oh, never mind." How did you think it happened? Do you think it happens on its own? Do you think you just take a magic pill and you lose the weight? It doesn't work that way. You have to put in work. But we're like, "Oh, I don't want to." Oh. And a lot of Christians are the same way. A lot of Christians are like, "Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love the Bible. Oh, I love the gospel. I would do anything for Jesus." Okay, those are big words right there. But they're not actually willing to put in any hard work, any moral work, any intellectual work, anything that needs to be done in order to advance the kingdom. Okay, well, Paul, what should we do? His whole exhortation in this entire passage is verse 24, the second sentence, in the middle of verse 24. "Run in such a way that you may obtain the prize." That's the whole point of the gospel. Here you have the Corinthians going, "Oh, but I have the right to eat whatever I want." He's like, "For crying out loud, I don't care. I don't care. I have the right to eat whatever I want." Are you helping anyone else? Are you telling the gospel to anyone else? Are you trying to edify anyone else? So it's like, "Oh, I can do this." Do your job. Talk to people. Help people. Do something. The word that Paul uses here for himself is the word agonizome. It's where we get the word agonize. I agonize to get done what I am doing. My entire life is consumed by this. I want, when I'm done and I go to heaven, Jesus to say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Not to just waste my life. He gave me a ministry and I'm going to do it. He says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel. This is not a hobby. This is not a part-time job. It's something that I'll be a Christian on the side. I'll have my real life over here, and then I'll have, you know. Paul is saying, every decision that I make, what job I do, who I marry, how I spend my time, how I speak to people, how I respond to people, what I eat even, everything is based on, will this help the preaching of the gospel? So many Christians, what the biggest sacrifices they do is, oh, I lost 1 hour of sleep on Sunday morning so I could go to church. Just sleep there instead. Great, what do you want? Congratulations. There was a man who came to Jesus one time and he said, I'll follow you wherever you go. Oh, big words. Jesus says, you know, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but Son of Man doesn't have where to lay his head. You say you're going to follow me wherever you go? You know, I don't have anywhere to sleep tonight. You still want to follow me? Well, I didn't think about it that way. Another guy comes to him and says, Jesus, I'll follow you, but let me bury my father first. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. And a lot of people don't understand that passage. They think Jesus is just being harsh and mean to the guy. That's not the point. The guy's father was not dead yet. When he said, let me bury my father. If his father had just died, he wouldn't be there talking with Jesus. He would be overburying his father because they buried within the same day. What he is saying is, I'll follow you in the future after my father dies. Then I'm going to give my life to you, Jesus. And Jesus is saying, let the dead bury their own dead. Let those who are spiritually dead, let unbelievers go and give themselves to the things that the world gives itself to. You follow me. Are you willing to do that? See, when people would come to Jesus and be like, oh yeah, we're Christians, we're going to follow you, he would be like, really? You mean that? Jesus said, no man, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. We all know those verses. You know what that means, to take up your cross and follow Jesus? It means my life is over. I'm laying down my life. When you saw someone walking along the street carrying a cross, where was he going? To die. Jesus is saying, unless your life is given to me, your whole life, sacrificing yourself for me, you're not going to be my disciple. Oh, but I got up at 9 o'clock and I went to church. Nico, this sounds very difficult. And yeah, that's the whole point of the passage. That is the whole point of the passage. He's not saying, oh, this is a piece of cake. No, he's saying, this is difficult. But we have to do it. It's not easy. Whoever did anything worthwhile that was easy? Whoever talk about someone who did something which was easy? Look at top athletes in the world, since he's talking about athletes. Look at a runner. The next day, he's going to run in the final in the Olympics. He could say, previous night, he could say, I'm going to stay up all night tonight, play video games. He could do that if he wants. If he wants, he could do that. There's no law against it. And then he could get up the next day and go and start eating a bunch of pizzas and souvlaki and all kinds of stuff right before the race. I have the right to do that. Does he not have the right to do that? You bet he does. He's not going to win. He's not going to win. But he has the right to do it. And Paul is saying, my entire life, I'm giving it to Jesus. I have a goal. My goal is to see people get saved, to see people get edified, and that's what I'm doing. My entire life. I'm going to be like an athlete. I'm going to eat right, I'm going to train right, I'm going to sleep right, I'm going to do everything that I need to do in order to reach my goal. And I know what you may be thinking. You may say to me, Nico, we're not all the Apostle Paul. We can't all be apostles. We can't all be preachers. We can't all be missionaries. I know that. He knows that. He's not saying you need to be an apostle or a preacher or apostle or a missionary or anything like that. He knows that you have bills to pay. He knows that you have kids that you have to take care of. He knows that you have to make meals. He knows that you have to go to work. He knows that. But what he is saying is, what are you doing where you are? Wherever you are, do what you can. Wherever you are, whatever it is that you're doing, whatever issues you have to deal with in life, make an effort. Do something for the gospel. My entire life, he says, this is all I'm doing. He had to go to work when he was in Corinth. He had to build tents. He had to eat. He had to pay bills. But he's saying, do something. We only have one life. Don't waste it. Don't be like the people who are just Christians, who are just running aimlessly. Oh, sure, whatever. I don't know what's going on. Most Christians don't even know that they're in a race. Don't live your whole life as a Christian, and then in the end, you realize you did nothing for the kingdom of God. Nothing. You were just the guy who was just there watching while everyone else was running. No one got saved. No one got edified. No one got helped. But hey, I got to heaven. Good for you. If you believe the Bible, live for those things that the Bible says are important. Serve God with all your heart. Do all things for the glory of God and for His kingdom. That's His lesson here. Lay aside your rights, your ambitions, this is what I want for my life and I'm doing that. What does Jesus want you to do? Let's pray.